Welcome to the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Denny Wilson, and you're listening to Take Aim.
Sing the wondrous song of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven,
welcome to Take Aim. I hope and pray that you're able to join us each Thursday night at 7 o'clock here on the Gospel Radio Network as we study God's Word together. I also want to encourage you to listen on your mobile device when you're not able to be near your computer by using the TuneIn app and searching for the Gospel Radio Network. By doing so, you'll be able to listen to this and other radio programs anywhere that you go. It's my prayer that you're encouraged, edified, and challenge through our series of studies, and that it will help you to keep your focus on what really matters. You see, our goal as Christians is to take aim on eternal life. We want to go to heaven. We want to live with the Lord for eternity. However, we're not going to go to heaven by random chance or by luck. We must take aim. You know, we live in a world where there are thousands of denominations teaching different things. There are many world religions with not only different views, but with different so-called gods. With so many religions and denominations, you would think that our world would be filled with people dedicated to living better lives, and that sin and evil would almost be non-existent in our world. But that is just not what we see. When we watch the news or pick up a newspaper, the vast majority of what we see is negative. Instead of the lead story being about a group of people working together to help others, or about a group of teenagers getting together for a Bible study or doing good deeds, we often see story after story of murder, robbery, home invasion, and the like. The news is negative, and all the denominations aren't solving these problems. Now, obviously, doing good deeds is not enough to go to heaven. It takes faithful obedience to God and doing things according to His will in order to go to heaven. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now, obviously, there's more to being a Christian than just doing good deeds. We must be obedient to God. My point here is this, that if all the denominations and world religions were making the impact that they should, the population of this world would be kind and loving, serving, and giving to others in society. We would see very little crime. We would see nations working together rather than being at war. We would see these religions changing the lives of people for the better. What this is telling us is that while there are many choices about religion in our world, people aren't really living the way that they say they are. They're not living to back up their beliefs. They aren't practicing what they preach, so to speak. You know, our focus is wrong many times. Our goals are wrong. We're aiming at all the wrong targets. We live to please ourselves. We live to enjoy the pleasures of life. Our desires are for more possessions and greater wealth, and it's all about me and my wants. But if we really want to go to heaven, our goals must be different, and the things of this earth will never satisfy us. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity wrote, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation that I was made for another world." Folks, we ought to understand that we were made for another world. You see, this is the problem. For the most part, people are not looking for God in heaven, and they're not looking to Him to be satisfied. Faithful children of God are not people who live for the world. You see, we see a world where God is not most people's utmost desire. If our desire is to please God and live for Him, this world is never going to satisfy us. Therefore, we need to change our goals. We need to take aim on eternal life in heaven with the Father when this life is over. In fact, we should have boldness and confidence in the day of judgment, 1 John 4 and verse 17. Why do we have this boldness? Why do we have this confidence? Because we know we are going to heaven. If you have your Bible with you, please open it to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, as we study our present aim. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, and I hope you'll be able to follow along. "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Years ago, I had the pleasure of listening to Brother Wendell Winkler share a series of outlines for a small group of preachers for the purpose of helping them in their preaching. He shared outlines with us every day, and he encouraged us to develop these outlines and then present them in our work. So today, I'm going to share one of those outlines that I've developed, and I hope it's a benefit to you. In this lesson, we're going to use alliteration. We're going to be using the letters P and A for each of our points. The first point comes from the 9th verse of our text. Paul said, "We must make it our aim." So the question becomes, what is our present aim? The answer is for each of us to live our lives in such a way that we're well-pleasing to God. You see, our goal in this life is to please God. Our goal is to worship Him, to seek His approval. John 4:24 tells us that we worship God in spirit and in truth. That is, we worship in spirit, that is, with all of our heart, and we worship in truth, that is, according to His will. Our worship must be pleasing to Him, both in our actions and in our attitudes. Let's learn from the lesson that's presented to us about the life of Nadab and Abihu. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, we read, "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." You know, in our world today, many people would say, "Well, I don't understand what the big deal is. They used fire. They went at the right time. They went to the right place. They were doing their best. They were trying. Isn't that good enough?" No. It is not, and here's why. The fire they used was not what the Lord had commanded them. Folks, we have to follow the Word of God. Think of Adam and Eve. They're in the Garden of Eden. God told them that they could have of just about everything that was in that garden for food, the trees and the plants. And yet He told them there's one tree that they were not to eat of, and that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That should have been good enough. If God tells you not to do something, that should be enough. But the devil tempted them. Eve ate. She shared that fruit with her husband. He ate. And they brought sin and death into this world. Why? Because God asked them to do something, and they chose to do something other than what He had commanded them. You see, we must be obedient. Our present aim in life is to please God and not ourselves. Jesus said that if we're His disciples and we're truly His disciples, we'll abide in the Word and we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free, John 8:31 and 32. Let's spend more time in the Word of God. Let's study His Word and know what He wants us to do, and then please Him in our daily lives. Second, as we go back to our text, we notice that Paul tells us that not only is there a present aim, there is a people assembled. Who is it that must please God? Who is it that's going to be held accountable for knowing God's will? Well, the answer is that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All mankind, regardless of the time period, nationality, skin color, language, financial standing, social standing, political party, no matter where we are, we must be ready for the day of judgment. Paul encouraged the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, saying, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, every knee, every tongue shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Third, let's notice that there is a place appointed for the events at the end of time. The place is the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus is coming back, and he will deliver the saved to the Father and will send the lost to eternal punishment. In John 5, verse 28 and 29, Jesus said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, we see the judgment scene. Jesus is coming toward the earth. The dead in Christ arise first, then those who are alive and are remaining will join the Lord in the air, and from that moment on, thus shall they ever be with the Lord. That's the picture that's given. We must be ready for the judgment seat. We must be ready and understanding that when the Lord comes, he's going to separate the sheep and the goats. The goats, which are representative of the lost, will hear, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels," Matthew 25:41. While the sheep, the saved, will hear, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world," that's Matthew 25 and verse 34. That separation will be based on one's faithfulness to the Word of God. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Are you ready to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? That's something we all must consider, and we must be very serious about our answer. Notice also, there is a purpose assigned for standing before Christ. And that purpose is, we will answer for what we've done in the body. The way we live does make a difference. Jesus taught that we'll give an account for every idle word, Matthew 12 and verse 36. Paul said that we'll all give an account of ourselves before God, Romans 14 and verse 12. And the wise man Solomon said a very powerful statement in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13 and 14, saying, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." You see, the way we live matters, the things we do matters, and we will be held accountable before God for how we've lived. That question then should ring in our ears, how are we living? Notice also there are particulars addressed in that judgment scene. We will be judged based on what we've done in the body, whether good or bad. In the judgment scene of Matthew 25 that I mentioned a moment ago, we see the separation of the sheep and the goats. Well, what are the specific things mentioned that lead to separation? Well, in verses 34 through 36, Jesus said, "The king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me.'" Of course, this is not all-inclusive of what we must do, but it does show us that we must be obedient to God in all things, that we must care about people, that we must love them, we must help them physically and spiritually. It shows us that our lives matter, and the things we do in our life matters. We must not only believe in God, we must obey him. We must be pleasing in his sight. What are you doing in your life for others? What are you doing in your life for God? How are you making a difference in this world? Finally, let us notice that there is a persistent action that we must take. Paul encouraged the Christians in Corinth to persuade men. That's found in verse 11 of our text from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have a responsibility not only to help others, but to help them spiritually, to tell them about Jesus the Christ. We have an aim to go to heaven, and we ought to have an aim to help as many other people do the same. We don't want to see people be lost. We don't want our loved ones to be lost. Listen, we need to understand the gravity of the discussion here. Paul told the church in Thessalonica that Jesus was coming, and he wrote, "When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 and 8. I hope you understood what he just said. You know, many times in life, people will start making excuses or they'll come up with some hypothetical reason why someone wouldn't know Christ. But here, this verse is very powerful in addressing that issue. It says that this vengeance from God comes on two groups of people, those who do not know God and those who do not obey him. So there's no excuse for those who don't know. Do you know what that does to us? That puts a very serious burden and responsibility on our shoulders to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. We need to tell others about Jesus. Not only that, we need to be faithful and obedient. We need to help other people to be faithful and obedient. We need to show them there is a better way, and it is a life that will make a difference in this world. You see, the world thinks that everyone's going to heaven. They think everyone's okay, and it really doesn't matter what you believe. But the world is wrong. Jesus said there's only one road that we can travel, and that road leads to eternal life. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Too often people go by that easy road, that wide road that leads to destruction. Folks, we can't do that. We need to stick with Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." John 14 and verse 6. I don't know about you, but I believe him. Jesus said he is the only way to the Father. Therefore, we must believe him and obey him. Our text this evening from 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11 tells us some very powerful lessons. Number one, we have a present aim. We need to be pleasing to God. Number two, there are people assembled, and that is all mankind. Each of us will stand before the judgment seat. There is a place appointed. It is the judgment seat of Christ. Number four, there is a purpose assigned, and that is we will answer for how we've lived. Number five, there are particulars addressed. The judgment will be based on our actions, whether good or bad. And then finally, number six, there is a persistent action that we must take. We need to make sure that our lives are right before God and then go to a lost and dying world with the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must be active in evangelism. Friends, our aim is to go to heaven and help others do the same. The only way we're going to go to heaven is to be a Christian and obediently follow his word. If you're not a Christian, I hope you'll decide to be obedient to the gospel and be washed free from the sin in the waters of baptism. If I can help you with that, please let me know. I'd love to help you any way that I can. If you'd like to study the Bible or learn about God's plan of salvation, you can contact me by email at roydw3@aol.com. That's roydw3@aol.com. I'll be glad to study with you. And if you're in a different part of the world from where I live, I'll be glad to help you find a church home where you can meet with Christians, study God's word, worship him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and grow as a Christian while helping others to become Christians. Let me know how I can help you. Folks, I have enjoyed our time together this evening, and I hope you'll be back with us next Thursday night at 7 o'clock Central for another lesson from God's Word. If you are in the Odessa Midland area, we call it the Permian Basin, but if you're in the Odessa Midland area of Texas, I want to invite you to come visit us at Parkview Church of Christ. The address is 1700 Park Boulevard, and we're just off of West County Road. You won't miss us when you see the sign. We're here in Odessa, and we'd love to be of service to you. Our service times are Sunday morning Bible class at 9:30 a.m., followed by our worship at 10:20. We meet again at 5 o'clock on Sunday evenings, and then we have a midweek Bible class on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We would love to have you come visit with us. We're going to be there every opportunity that we can, and we know that there are people throughout the world who are traveling that sometimes come to Odessa, especially today with the oil field and the many jobs that are available in this part of the world. So when you come our way, make sure you stop by. We would love to meet you. Again, if you have questions or comments, don't hesitate to ask. Send me an email at roydw3@aol.com. I also want you to know that next week, my plan is to announce some social media opportunities for study, for listening to lessons, reading articles, and other avenues where we can feed our minds spiritually. My plan is to announce our website, as well as our Facebook page and our YouTube channel, where we're going to have regular articles, regular devotional lessons, and opportunities for you to study God's Word. I hope you'll use these for your personal gain, but also share them with your friends and your neighbors. Of course, one of the best things you can do is spend time in your own Bible study. You know, if you'll read 4 chapters of the Bible a day, you'll cover the entire Bible in a year. If you'll read 4 chapters of the New Testament every day, you'll cover the New Testament 4 times a year. And you know, there's plans where you can even read the entire New Testament through in a month. Find a plan that works for you. Get your Bible out, get a notebook out, get a pencil, get a pen, and begin to write notes as you study God's Word so that we can get to know Him more fully, so that we can please Him as we've studied here this evening, and as we can live our lives in such a way to go to heaven and help others do the same. I appreciate you being here tonight on Take Aim, and I cannot wait to have you back with us next week. Have a great week, and thank you for listening to Take Aim.